Sheikh Muhammad Ali Shamali will be continuing with his lectures on globe before and after the advent of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. He's a graduate of the Islamic Seminary of Qum and has earned his doctorate in philosophy from the University of Manchester. Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala. Salamu alaykum. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره وشيعته إن شاء الله. We started talking about what happens after Imam Zaman أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف comes in respect to moral, religious, cultural situation in آخر الزمان. One of the things which is mentioned is that Imam Zaman would remove all the chains that have been tied and fastened around human beings. Indeed, this is what we have about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran. That one of the tasks of the Prophet was وَيَزَعُ عَنْهُمْ إِسْرَهُمْ وَالْأَغْلَالَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ. In the time of Jahiliyyah, people suffered a lot. They were not really free. Why? Because they were chained. They didn't have chance to freely live, to freely think, to freely live with other people. Everything was under heavy burden of ignorance, wrong customs, superstitions. And one of the tasks of the Prophet was to liberate people from the burden of all these unneeded, unnecessary things. So prophets are the people who liberate us, not the people who put us under pressure. Unfortunately, because people sometimes are interested in the freedom in its bad sense, in its negative sense, which means to be able to do whatever you wish, whatever you like. So they think religion puts some burden on them. They want not to be committed to anything. So if someone says, okay, you should be honest, you should keep your promises, you should tell the truth, you should be looking after the people who are in need, the poor people, this and this, they think this is taking away their freedom. And they say, okay, let's celebrate our freedom. Why we accept these, you know, obligations and compulsion? And this is why you see today there are many people who are interested in spirituality because they think materialistic life is not enough for them. But they are afraid of following systematic religions because they see that if they follow systematic religions, there would be so many tasks and obligations. So they say, okay, let's have our spirituality and at the same time be totally free. We don't need to go to any place of worship. We don't need to pay any money to anyone. We don't need to have any rituals. But at the same time be spiritual. And this is why some people choose some Eastern, you know, religions like, you know, Buddhism. Because they think it gives them some idea, it gives them some spirituality. At the same time, they are very free and relaxed and whatever they want, they can do. just some addition to their life. Or maybe they think by some kind of exercises like yoga or whatsoever, you know, they can have some concentration and, you know, so they can enjoy. And the Quran says that this is something rooted in human being. يُرِيدُ الْإِنسَانَ لِيَفْجُرَ أَمَامَهُ. Insan wants, human being wants to see no barrier in front of him. Whatever he wants to do. Doesn't want to commit himself. Okay, this is the very short-sighted understanding of freedom. But if we look carefully, we see these people are not free. They think they are free, but indeed they are imprisoned. They have their own cage inside themselves. They cannot get rid of this prison that they have created for themselves. So these people are not people who are very strong. If you bring a little change to their lifestyle, they become mad. If the food they are used to is changed, they become mad. These are not free people. They think they are free, but indeed these are the people who are imprisoned, these are the people who are very weak, and they are easily disturbed, they are easily disappointed, and these are the people that very easily may commit suicide, because they feel there is nothing that worth living. We have another sense of freedom, and that is freedom in its real sense. That is freedom which starts within yourself. To be free means to be able to resist against your temptations. To be so strong that you are not just going after what you wish or what you desire. You go after what you think it is appropriate. Freedom is not what is not to do what you like. Freedom is to be able to do what you should do. This is freedom. If I am able enough, if I am strong enough to do what I should do, so I am free. If this is taken away by external forces or internal forces, I am not free. If I know what should I do, but I cannot practice that, this I am not free. But if I do just what I wish, without being able to do what I really should do, this is not freedom. So the prophets come to celebrate this real freedom. We want to celebrate this real freedom that Allah has given us. And Imam Ali alayhi salam told Imam Hassan, لا تكن عبد غيرك قد جعلك الله حرا. Do not be servant of anyone. Allah has created you free. This is the freedom that Allah has given us, and we should not serve anyone. Neither any human being outside, nor our own lower desires. When Imam Zaman, Ajjal Allah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif comes, one of the things that he does is to give us back this freedom. He releases us from all these chains and ropes that have kept us unable to really move and to breathe. For example, there is a hadith. This hadith is a very beautiful hadith, and I have the whole text of hadith, but it takes time. I just mentioned some of it. And this is the hadith that in the end Abu Basir says that, you know, Abu Basir is one of famous companions of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and also Imam Baqir. In the end he says, لَوْ لَمْ تَسْمَعْ فِي دَهْرَكَ إِلَّا هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ لَكَفَاكَ. He says, if in your own life, whole life, you haven't heard except this hadith, this would be sufficient. فَصُنْهُ إِلَّا أَنْ أَهْلَهُ. Do not disclose this hadith except to the people whom you can trust. So because I can trust you, so I mentioned this hadith. But I mentioned part of it. And Abi Basir and Abi Abdullah alayhi salam, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, "Qala Abi li Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari." My father, means Imam Baqir, told Jabir ibn Abdullah. You know, we have Jabir ibn Abdullah and we have Jabir ibn Yazid. Both of them were great people. But Jabir ibn Abdullah is one of the companions of the Prophet who lived till the time of Imam Baqir. So he was with Imam Ali, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Imam Sajjad, and Imam Baqir. And he is the one that the Prophet mentioned name of all 12 Imam for him. And then when he reached Imam Baqir, said, "Say my salam to him." And he lived by the time of Imam Baqir. So Imam Sadiq says that my father told Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, "I have some haja," means I want you something, some favor. "Whenever it's convenient for you, I want to be with you and have a private conversation." Then Jabir said, "Whenever you want, I am at your service." So one day, Imam Baqir and Jabir met. Then Imam Baqir said, "Ya Jabir, أخبرني عن اللوح الذي رأيته في يد أمي فاطمة بنت رسول الله." "Oh Jabir, tell me about the plate that you saw in hand of my mother Fatima." "وما أخبرتك به أمي أنه في ذلك اللوح المكتوب." "And what my mother told you is written on that plate." فقال جابر, then Jabir replied, "أشهد بالله, Allah is witness, that أني دخلت على أمك فاطمة في حياة رسول الله." When the Prophet was alive, I went to visit Lady Fatima to congratulate him for the birth of Hussein. And I saw a green plate in her hands. I thought it's zumurrud. You know zumurrud, green jewelry. And there was something like a white paper. Something like a white book or paper. I told Lady Fatima, "Be'abi wa ummi, may my father and mother be your ransom, ya bint Rasulullah. What is this plate?" She said, "Haza lohun ahdahu Allah ila Rasulullah." This is the plate that Allah has given as a gift to the Prophet. "In this plate is name of my father, my husband, my sons, and the successors of the Prophet from my progeny. And my father gave me this plate as a gift, as a bishara." Then Jabir said, "Your mother Fatima passed the plate to me, so I read and made a note of it." Then Imam Sadiq says, "My father told Jabir, Halaka ya Jabir an ta'rizahu alayya. Could you please show me what you made a note, the note that you made? Could you show me?" Qala na'am, said yes. Then Imam Baqir and Jabir walked to the house of Jabir. And Jabir showed that note that he had made. Then Imam Baqir alayhi salam told Jabir, "You look at your note me without looking at that, read it for you. So Imam started reading what was in the note of the job. And everything Imam said, letter by letter, was in the note that Jabir had. And Jabir said, أَشْهَدُ بِاللَّهِ أَنِّي هَكَذَا رَأَيْتُهُ فِي اللَّهِ مَكْتُوبًا. Allah is witness that exactly this is what I saw on the plate. This is what is actually there. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هذا كتاب من الله العزيز الحكيم لمحمد نبيه ونوره وسفيره وحجابه ودليله. This is a message from Allah to Muhammad, his prophet, his light, his envoy, his guide. نزل به الروح الأمين. And this has been brought down by Jibreel. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about himself, about the idea of Tawheed, about that the fact that people should only hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, should only worship Allah, should only trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have never sent any prophet except that I have made a successor for him. I have made you superior to other prophets, and I have made your successor to superior to the successors of other prophets. Then I have honored you with your grandchildren Hassan and Hussein. I made Hassan the source for my knowledge after his father dies. And I made Hussein the treasure of my revelation, and I have honored him with martyrdom, and with I ended his life, or I'm going to end his life with sa'ada, means to be fortunate, to be happy. And huwa afzalu man istushhada, he is the greatest person who has ever been martyred. Wa arfa'u shuhada darajatan, and among all the martyrs, he is the first. This is Sayyidu Shuhada. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about Imam Sajjad, about Imam Baqir, and all the Imams are mentioned here with some of the characteristics. Then reaches Imam Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajah. Before Imam Mahdi talks about Imam Hassan al-Askari, أُخْرَجُ مِنْهُ الدَّاعِ إِلَى سَبِيلِ وَالْخَازِنْ لِعِلْمِ الْحَسَنِ. After the tenth Imam, I appoint the one who invites people towards my path, and he has the knowledge from me, and that is Hassan. Then he says, وَأُكْمِلُ ذَلِكَ بِبْنِهِ مُحَمَّدْ رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. But Muhammad is written separately, the letters. I will complete after him this chain of successors with his son. You know, the name of Imam Zaman is the same name of the Prophet, but in that time the Shia were supposed not to mention Imam by name. Rahmatan lil alamin. This is very interesting. We will talk about this later. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was mercy for all the inhabitants of the world. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. The same quality is inherited by Imam Zaman. He is رَحْمَةٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. عَلَيْهِ كَمَالُ مُوسَى وَبَهَاءُ عِيسَى وَصَبْرُ أَيُّوبُ. He has the perfection of Moses and the awe of Isa and patience of Ayyub. Then فَيَذِلُّ أَوْلِيَاءِ فِي زَمَانِ فَيُقْتَلُونَ وَيُحْرَقُونَ وَيَكُونُونَ خَائِفِينَ مَرْعُوبِينَ وَجَلِينَ. In his time, means time of Imamah, of Imam Zaman, time of Qaybah, of Imam Zaman, my awliya, my servants, my true servants, my friends, will be made humble or will be humiliated. They will be killed. They will be burnt. They will be fearful. Their blood will paint the earth. They will suffer a lot. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ أَوْلِيَاءِ حَقَّ. These are my true friends. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, with them I remove all the calamities and fitna. And then, what is mentioned here is that with them I remove zalazel, which literally means earthquakes. We talked about earthquake, or maybe it means another thing. And with them I remove all the chains and burdens and locks which have locked up the people. So people will be released, will be liberated. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ. Upon whom are salutations and mercy of Allah. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. And these are the people who have been able to find the right path. I just mentioned the beginning of hadith and end of hadith, but this is very important hadith. And as you see, this is very important that in a very short message, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet has mentioned this, that people finally would be released and liberated. And I think this is, we should stress on when we talk about Imam Zaman, that Imam Zaman is a liberator. It's someone who comes and make humanity free. Another thing that we had in this hadith, you noticed, is that Imam Zaman is Rahmatun lil Alameen, mercy for all human beings and jinns and whoever is able to think and contemplate. Because Alameen is very profound term. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. What does Alameen mean? Normally in English translations of Quran, what I have seen is that they just put worlds. But Alameen doesn't mean worlds. Alameen is not just worlds. In Arabic, if they want to say worlds, they would say Awalim. They don't say Alameen. Alameen is irregular, plural form, but it doesn't mean worlds. It means inhabitants of the world which can think, which can have knowledge. So it includes jinns, it includes human beings, it includes angels. Maybe there are other creatures of Allah that can think and we don't know. It includes all of them. But it doesn't include things which are not able to think. Of course, the Prophet is mercy for everything, but what this term is mentioning is those inhabitants of the world that can think and can have knowledge. Okay? This is the meaning of Alameen. And Imam Zaman is Rahmatun lil Alameen. This is also something important. Unfortunately, many people nowadays try to frighten non-Muslims about Imam Zaman and make a very frightening picture of the concept of Mahdi in Islam and in the Shia Islam, and make maybe people, you know, psychologically ready to oppose Imam Mahdi. This is very important. They want to already, you know, make the mindset of people against Imam Zaman. What we need to do is to convey this message of Imam Zaman, that he is the liberator and he is the mercy and source of mercy for all people, even not only people, human beings, even jinns. Whoever has some understanding would understand the mercy of Imam Zaman. So we must counter attack this kind of, you know, bad projection of the Imam Zaman. You should say that Imam Zaman is something that all people should be waiting for. And Imam Zaman is not for Muslims or for the Shia. Maybe some Muslim and Shia will be against Imam Zaman. Who knows? Maybe some people who are not Muslim, then they will benefit from Imam Zaman more than, like when the Prophet came. Everyone maybe expected that the Jews and Christians would be the first people to benefit from the Prophet. Yes, this was the assumption because they were the closest people. But indeed, those pagans, like Ammar, like Abu Zar, these people were benefited the most. So you cannot say that Imam Zaman comes for us, the Shia. Imam Zaman comes for whoever is really seeking the truth, seeking closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many people would benefit from Imam Zaman among non-Muslims. So we should project this picture of Imam Zaman. Another thing that we find in hadith about Imam Zaman is that Imam Zaman would not only bring justice in the sense that there would be no economical, financial problem. Indeed, Imam Zaman meets all the needs of human beings, even emotional needs, psychological needs, spiritual needs, all will be met. Not only of human beings, even animals, even birds. You remember one hadith we had, Yarza an husakinu samaa wa sakinu al-arz, that the inhabitant of the earth and inhabitant of the sky will be pleased with him. You remember that hadith? And I said there are different ways of interpreting that hadith. That is one hadith, but we have also other hadith. I don't repeat that one because we already talked about it. I mentioned other hadith. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, يَرْضَى بِخَلَافَتِهِ أَهْلُ السَّمَا وَأَهْلُ الْأَرْضِ وَالْتَيْرُ فِي الْجَوِّ. The people of earth, inhabitants of the earth, the people of sky. Who are the people in the sky? Are there some rational beings living in some planets? Maybe. Does this mean angels? Maybe. Anyway, there are some rational beings in the skies. They will be pleased, but وَتَّيْرُ فِي الْجَوْ, also birds that fly, these will be also pleased. There is nothing to complain. Even birds cannot complain. Because no one is annoying them, no one is causing problem for them. There will be no pollution, no damage of environment. Even those will be pleased. And something that we have about how much people would enjoy being with Imam Zaman and how much they love to be with Imam Zaman in that time is that يَعْوِي إِلَى الْمَهْدِي أُمَّتُهُ كَمَا تَعْوِ النَّهْلِ إِلَى يَعْسُوبِهَا. People are so much willing and eager to be with their imam in that time, that can be likened to bees that want to meet their queen. So all people will do their best to be with Imam Zaman and enjoy being with Imam Zaman. The other thing that we find about Akhir al-Zaman is the idea of the expansion of true religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the progress that will be made for Islam. I start this discussion now, but inshallah we need to continue this later because this is important discussion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. Allah is the one who has sent his prophet, his messenger, with guidance, بالهدى ودين الحق, and true religion. ليظهره على الدين كله, so that this religion will be superior to any other religion. This is a promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a very important ayah. What does this mean? Does this mean that all people will become Muslims in Akhiru Zaman? Or does this mean that Islam will be the superior religion, but there may be other religions? Or does this mean Deen ul-Haq means Islam in its general sense? Because Islam is a name for the religion of Ibrahim, the religion of Musa, the religion of Isa, the religion of Prophet of Allah. All is Islam. Ibrahim said, Ana min al-Muslimin. I am one of the Muslims. When Ya'qub was dying, he told his sons, La tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Do not die unless you are Muslims, which means submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does this mean? This is a very important thing that inshallah we talk about it later. Tonight I mentioned just a little bit about this concept, and inshallah the next session we will finish this. We have hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. La yadkhulanna hadha ad-din ala ma dakhala alayhi al-layl. This religion will enter, will penetrate into everything that night can enter. You know, when it becomes night, the darkness is everywhere. Yeah? Even if you close the door of your room and put the curtains, the night is already there. You cannot keep the night outside your house, can you? You cannot. The night comes and is present everywhere. There is no way to stop night coming. In Akhiru Zaman, the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will penetrate to all aspects of life, to all corners of life. What does it mean? Of course, it means that everything will be regulated according to the true religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that has never happened. Even in the time of the Prophet, he was not able to practice Islam fully. He himself practiced, but the people were not ready for that. The whole world was not ready for that. But when Imam Zaman Ajjalallahu ta'ala Farajahu Sharif comes, Islam, or the true religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a sense of all also religions, a sense of Christianity and Judaism and religion of Ibrahim, and that is commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this would spread everywhere. Inshallah, I will talk about this issue in coming nights. Just let me give you one, two more hadith so that you reflect and I hope, inshallah, you will have good questions, inshallah, about this. There is a hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. إِذَا قَامَ الْقَائِمْ دَعَ النَّاسِ إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ جَدِيدًا. When Imam Zaman comes, he invites again people to Islam. We had this concept of renewing Islam. وَحَدَاهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَمْرٍ قَدْ دُثِرَ فَذَلَّ عَنْهُ الْجُمْهُورِ. It's very beautiful. Imam Zaman would invite people and guide people to something which has been torn, which has been very old, which has not been kept and maintained properly, and the majority have gone astray, have lost it. فَزَلَّ عَنْهُ الْجُمُورِ. If you remember when I was talking about Islam becoming Gharib again, I said this doesn't mean there would be no true Muslims. I said it means that the true understanding of Islam will be limited to a very small group of people. You remember that? Again, here Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, Jumhur means the majority would go away from Islam before Imam Zaman comes. And Imam Zaman, this is why he guides again people towards Islam. And one reason that he is called Mahdi is because he is guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards whatever has been lost. Whatever has been lost, whatever people has not been able to find, they have gone astray. Imam Mahdi is guided towards that and brings that back to the people. So you see that this is important, that Imam Zaman will have fresh and sound and perfect presentation of Islam again, but this doesn't mean that Islam was lost totally. No, Islam was there, but the true Islam was with only a minority of people. Zalla anhu al-jumhur. The majority will lose it. And Imam Mahdi will introduce this to everyone. I stop here and inshallah we will continue this discussion. Please remember, you know, to reflect on this concept, and inshallah I will talk about this. We will talk also about the teaching of the Quran, how Imam Zaman would teach the Quran, and other subjects that are left, inshallah. Thank you for your attention.
Now we'll have questions and answers. Anyone from the ladies? Anyone from the ladies?
Sheikh, thank you very much for this rather blissful post-Mahdi era that is truly indeed sounds like heaven on earth. Yeah. Isn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being unjust on me for me to be in the wrong era?
You know, to enjoy that situation does not mean that those people who will be at that time are better than the people who are suffering in Akhiru Zaman. Indeed, the people who suffer now can be a higher position than those people. Because for them, again, everything would be very straightforward. They have the Hujjah of Allah with them. And everything is peaceful, everything is, you know, very much welcoming them. So, we always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for faraj. But the people who suffer in the time of occultation are in a higher position. generally speaking. Okay? In the end, there must be people who suffer, there must be people who prepare for the advent of Imam Zaman. But luckily, there is a chance that even if we die sooner, maybe we'll be returned back, because this is the concept of Raj'ah, and we believe that the people who are very good will come back, and the people who are very bad also will be brought back for different reasons. So there would be, inshallah, a chance to see that. But we never should feel that now that we are in this situation, this means that Allah has not been kind to us or, you know, generous to us. No. Indeed, this is very good for us. Going through all these tests and difficulties and remaining in the end loyal is very good.
Any questions from the ladies?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You mentioned that the Imam will benefit both Muslims and non-Muslims, Shias and non-Shias. I heard a hadith which said that when Imam Mahdi comes, the people who will be most vigorously against the Imam will be the Shia scholars at the moment. I know it puts you in a bad position to say this, but what's your take on that? And secondly, you mentioned that people who are very bad and very good will come back. Does that mean that the people who are very good will get will be brought back to reiterate their strength to the Imam, and the people who are very bad, will they come back to have a second chance, or will they again hinder the Imam's process?
Regarding the first, I haven't seen hadith about this. You can guess that this may happen. There may be among scholars people who oppose Imam Zaman. This is not something strange. There may be even mosques in Akhir Zaman that will be ruined and destroyed by Imam Zaman. This is possible. But this doesn't mean this would be the majority of scholars or all scholars. No, there would be certainly some people who would oppose Imam Zaman. And there are already people that you can see. There are scholars now who don't serve really cause of Imam Zaman, and they cause, you know, problems. So this is not strange, but what we get from our hadith is that in the time of Qayba, Shia ulama have great position, and as we have in hadith, these are addressed on the day of judgment as kafil aitam al Muhammad, the people who look after the orphans of al Muhammad. And hadith says that when these ulama want to go to heaven, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks them to stop and say, before you go to heaven, you must do shafa'a for whoever has learned from you something, has benefited from your knowledge, you can do shafa'a for them. So Shia ulama have great position, but this doesn't mean that whoever has Aba or Amama, or even he has knowledge, he is a Shia alim in that sense. Maybe ignorant people appearing and pretending to be alim, because there are alims who are jahil. As Imam Ali said, رُبَّ عَالِمًا قَدْ قَتَلَهُ جَهْلُهُ. There are people who have knowledge, but indeed they are ignorant. Because knowledge is only there when you practice it. Knowledge is light. If you don't practice it, this is not knowledge. This is just burden. About the second question, the people who are very good, they come back so that they can fulfill their desires for being with Imam Zaman, helping Imam Zaman, and seeing by themselves the victory of Haqq. The people who are very bad come so that they suffer, because maybe some of them have always been, you know, in high position, even
up to their death, maybe they have enjoyed power and, you know, everything they had. Now they come and see how painful and bitter it is to see that you are defeated. And this is one reason that they come back. But this is for very good people and very bad people. Average people, no.
Any questions from the ladies?
So you need to book, you know, now in advance because in a limited space. You know.
Any questions from the ladies?
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you very much for your thought-provoking lecture. Sheikh, as a comment, I'd just like to say the definition that you gave of freedom was very good indeed. I think the concept has really gone into my mind as what freedom actually means, and that's really important. But as a question, you finished your lecture with a very, very important hadith from the sixth imam. And if we think that the saddest thing that the Muslims have ever done was not to avail themselves of the hidayah of Imam Ali alayhi salam, so much so that in a short time we see them gathering in their thousands to kill his grandson, to kill the grandson of the Prophet and their family. So are we saying that Imam Mahdi's role is to redress all that that has gone wrong before? Or are we talking in the wider sense of bringing Muslims back to Islam if they've just strayed from what is commonly accepted as Muslim traits?
What is the difference?
In the sense that people may not follow, for example, the usul of deen, rather than the understanding of Islam that some of us have.
Of course, what has happened in the history, you cannot bring it back. History never repeats. So that is the sad thing. But what can be done is to introduce Islam, proper Islam again. And because, you know, many people today, either they don't follow Islam at all, or maybe they follow Islam, but they don't have proper understanding of Islam. But this is not their own fault. This is something which is caused by, you know, many historical reasons. And many of these people have good and, you know, sincere intentions. We shouldn't think that, you know, the people today must be blamed for whatever has happened in the past. Many of these people are sincere, but this is the amount of the knowledge that they had access to. So what Imam Zaman, inshallah, do is that he will introduce Islam again. So whoever is really seeking the truth, whoever is really after Islam, can benefit from this and would see that this is something that is in compliance with their fitrah, with their heart, with their conscience, so they can easily accept this. And the misunderstandings, misrepresentations, prejudices will go away. Am I answering your question? Or because
in combination with the other things that you said about the imam being the rahmat on sentient beings. And if they avail themselves of that knowledge, then of course it all fits in.
Yes, of course.
Any questions from the ladies?
You know, sometimes I think as that prophets and imams, these are like teachers. Much more than teachers, but, you know, just a teacher who loves his job never, you know, is happy to lose any of his students. You know, he would feel that this is a, you know, failure for himself to lose any student. Even if they are made very angry by some naughty students, still, you know, they try to control themselves and, you know, to control their temper so that they can in the long term bring them to the line. This is what, and this is especially the case about the Prophet of Islam, because he was Rahmatun lil Alameen. And even, you know, after the very bitter experience in the war of Uhud, when they killed Hamza and many of the companions of the Prophet, they broke the teeth of the Prophet. Still, the Prophet said, "Allahumma ihdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun." Oh Allah, guide my people. They don't know. He could have cursed them. He said, guide them. So, the same is about Imam Zaman. The same about Imam Ali. Imam Ali was not killing people easily. It was very difficult for Imam Ali alayhi salam to kill the people. But that was the only solution which was left for Imam Ali, when there was no other solution, so he had to do this. But Imam Ali is full of mercy and passion. You see what he did with the orphans, you know, and that lady who had lost her husband in the war. So, for Imam Zaman, if he can do something to save one person, he would do it. But in the end, if there are people who don't want to be guided, and they want also to misguide other people, and they want to oppose and stop this process, then maybe there remain no other solution. But this is always the last resort, and this is for the people who are really wicked and really, you know, there is no hope. So the most important medicine and treatment would be showing mercy to the people, proper guidance, and fresh presentation of Islam, which very easily fits into their mindset set that Allah has created. This is the night of Tasu'a, and we normally dedicate this night to Hazrat Abbas. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعل الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين لا سيما على ذي الفضل العباس When Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas saw that Imam Hussein alayhi salam was left without any soldier, went to Imam Hussein and said, "Could you please give me your blessings to fight your enemy?" Imam Hussein alayhi salam said, "Anta hamilu liwa'i." O Abbas, you are the standard bearer of my army. This means that our story is coming to an end. How can I let you go and remain without a standard bearer?
Then Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas politely said, لَقَدْ ضَاغَ صَدْرِي وَسَئِمْتُ الْحَيَاةِ. He said, I feel pain in my breast. I no longer want to live. After losing all these great people, members of the family of Ahlul Bayt, and the loyal companions of you, and seeing that you are left alone, there is no point in living for me. Please let me to become your ransom. Then Abi Makhnaf says, Imam Hussein said, In azimta fastasghilana ma. If you have made up your mind, so could you please bring some water? Maybe the children, maybe the ladies can have the last chance to have water. Then Hazrat Abbas took the jar of water and went off towards Euphrates and was reciting the poem La Arhabul Maut Adil Maut Raga Hatta Ulari Fil Masali Tilqa. I have no fear of death. Abbas has no fear of death. Nafsi la nafsi al-Mustafa tugha. May my life be protection for the children of the Prophet. Anni ana al-Abbas aghdu wa-saga. I am Abbas who is responsible for bringing water. And I know that your children, Hussein, are very thirsty. And I feel ashamed. وَلَا خَافُ الشَّرَّ يَوْمَ الْمُلْتَقَى. If I can fulfill my responsibility, I would have no fear on the day of judgment. So he moved towards Euphrates. But one of the enemies saw Abbas and decided to stop Abbas. Many others joined him, but they couldn't stop Abbas. And Abbas managed to reach the water. He made his hand full of water, but when he wanted to drink, فَزَّكَرَ عَتَشَ الْحُسَيْنِ. He was reminded of the thirst of Hussein. So he put back water and didn't taste water. He didn't want to have water before Hussein. So he filled his container with water and carried with his hand. Abu Makhnaf says that Hakim ibn Tufail attacked Abbas and cut off the right hand of Abbas. Then Abbas said, Wallahi in ghatatu yamini. By Allah, if you cut my right hand, still I would protect my religion. وَعَنْ إِمَامٍ صَادِقِ الْيَقِينِ نَجْلَ النَّبِيَ الطَّارِ الْأَمِينِ. I will protect my Imam who is grandson of the Prophet, the pure and the trusted and honest Prophet. Then Abbas took the jar of water with his left hand and he had still the hope maybe he can take water to children of Imam. But one of the enemies attacked Abbas and cut his limb. Then Abbas said, Ala ta'ashtarawna ma'ashar al-fujjari Qad ghatawu bi-baghyihim yasari. Don't you see these weak, wicked people, these evil people who have cut my left hand? But still he was carrying water. Then one of the people of Bani Darim attacked Abbas and hit head of Abbas. Then Abbas, the brave man that no one could approach him while he had hands, fell down on the earth with his فخر سريعا إلى الأرض ونادى بأعلى صوت With the utmost power that he had, he shouted, أدركني يا أخي Oh, say, oh brother, come to your brother. Then Imam Hussein quickly rised and came to Abbas. But in what situation is Abbas? Is Abbas has no right hand, no left hand. He had no place in his body, he said. Even his eyes were hit by enemies. Then Imam Hussein said, Now my back is broken. Now there is no hope left for me after you. When the captives of Ahlul Bayt were taken to the palace of Yazid, Yazid apparently didn't know that Abbas was the standard bearer of Hussein. But looking at the flag of army of Hussein, said, Who was taking this? The man who was taking this must be very brave and very loyal. Because the way that I see this is broken shows that person up to the last moment of his life remained loyal to us and did his best to protect the flag of the army of us. رایمان از کسرت دشمن زهر سو بسته بود. This is on behalf of Imam Hussein. Rahman az kasrat dushman zahar su basdu dagha pay dar payo kamha baham pay basdu Imam Hussein says, I was from every corner surrounded by enemies. There was no way through. And all the tragic events came and fell on me one after one. Basgaz meydan darun khayme avardam shayid. بود سر تا پای من خونین و زینب خسته بود I brought so many martyrs from the battlefield towards the tent that I am become fully covered by blood of martyrs and my Zainab has become tired and exhausted هر شهیدی شاهکاری داشت در اینجا ولی کارهایت ای برادر جان همه برجسته بود Every martyr had an outstanding act but you Abbas all your acts were outstanding تا به سوی خیمه برگردی مگر با مشکاب جام در دستش رو غیه منتظر بنشسته بود. When Rogaye knew that you have gone to bring water, so she was hopeful. She was sitting with a cup so that she can take water from you. من تکو تنها گشودم رای قربانگاه تو، گرچه دشمن هر زمان در هر طرف یک دست بود. I was alone and when I heard your cry I lonely came towards you. Although I was faced with lots of enemies بر زمین افتاد دیدم بیکرد را غرق بود. مشک خالی و دو دست و پرچمی بشکست بود. I saw you lying back on the land, your body covered with your blood, no water was red, your hands were cut off and the flag was broken into pieces. پشت من از داغ جان سوزد برادر جان شگرد، چون که رکن نهزتم بر همتت وابسته بود. My back was broken out of sorrow and grief for you, because you were the source of power and respect for me. هرچه کوشیدم که در برگیرم اد ممکن نشد، بس که دشمن جمله اعضایت زم بگذسته بود. I did my best to carry you towards the tent, but I couldn't do because your body was badly damaged by enemy. خواستم آن گه ببندم چشمهایت را خواست. Then I wanted at least to close your eyes. لیک پیش از من عدو با تیر چشمت بسته بود. But I realized that before me the enemies had closed your eyes with their arrows. الا لعنت الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا اي منقلب ينقلبون.
مطلب حسين.